From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone, to Mind Health Matters with the Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you're tuning in for the first time or you've been living under a rock, Dr. Bernie Siegel is a revered thought leader, retired surgeon, prolific author, offering many meaningful life lessons and many stories. And his show is heard every Thursday and Friday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. And we're a syndicated, holistic, Boston-based internet radio station where you can listen to us on any platform. We have our own station. You can listen through 45 to 50 podcast directories. So wherever you listen to shows, you'll find Bernie and the rest of us. Bernie has an excellent guest today. He is Bernard Beatman. He's a doctor, not a PhD, an MD, and the first psychiatrist since Carl Jung to systemize the study of coincidences. He's a graduate of Yale. He did his psychiatric residency at Stanford. He's a former chair of psychiatry at the University of Missouri Columbia Medical School for 17 years. He writes a blog for Psychology Today on coincidences, and he's co-author of the award-winning book, Learning Psychotherapy, the founder of the Coincidence Project. And so over to you. Welcome, Dr. Bernard, and over to you, Bernie.
Okay. All right. It's fun to have somebody else named Bernard with me.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, let me say this, Bernie, especially as a psychiatrist. I know what I went through when I began being different. All my interviews were with the controversial Dr. Bernie Siegel. And at Yale, it's when you talk to the medical conferences, everybody'd argue with you. You know, that can't be true, blah, blah, blah. What studies have you done? And talking to doctors was really a problem in terms of getting them that, you know, their beliefs to open. And I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but what I wanted to know is what switched you over? I can share mine later, but what made you see that coincidences aren't a coincidence?
Yeah, they are clues to how reality works is what I think, and I'm trying to use them as like a lance to pierce that rational iron curtain that is in medicine. And I got started in it in a couple of different ways. My dog got lost when I was 8 or 9. My mother said, go to the police station. They didn't know where he was. And I took a wrong turn because I was crying so much. And there he was. He showed up. So that was a very meaningful thing to an 8-year-old boy to find his dog because he was my best friend. And on top of that, when I was 31, I was standing in a sink in San Francisco, Victorian house in the Fillmore district, and I was choking uncontrollably. I couldn't stop choking. My brother called the next day and said our father had died. He died at 11 p.m. San Francisco time, 2 a.m. Wilmington, Delaware time. We were choking at the same time because he was choking on his own blood, bleeding into his throat, and he couldn't stop, and he died suffocating with bleeding into his throat while I was choking with him. Those two instances got me there, Bernie.
What changed me also had to do with my own. I went to a workshop Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was running, and she became a good old friend of mine. And, you know, one of the things she said to me, Borny, that's her Swiss accent, Borny, there are no coincidences.
Oh, really?
And that was her sentence, yes, over and over. There are no coincidences. And Jung said that. Carl Jung, years ago, I came across this quote. Now it passed out of my head. The future is unconsciously prepared long in advance and therefore can be guessed by clairvoyance. So when you go to a fortune teller, they're reading your consciousness, just what you're talking about, see? And, you know, so that it's not a coincidence when they tell you something. And what impressed me and really changed my whole way of practicing was to draw a picture with crayons for Elizabeth. She said, draw me a picture. She gave me a white page of paper. I drew the picture, and she started asking me questions. Why is 8 important to you? Why'd you ask me that? You drew 8 trees. You know, things like that. What are you covering up was the most important question. I said, what are you asking me that for? You used a white crayon on a white piece of paper. It's already white. You added a layer. And then I came across Jung. You know, the future is unconsciously prepared. And here I am drawing my future with crayons. So I literally went with crayons to the hospital from then on. So I went to the emergency room. I handed the crayons to a patient, draw a picture while we're waiting for your lab test, in the operating room, everywhere. And that's what changed the hospital, because they saw little kids draw anatomy. I mean, the kids didn't know what they were drawing, but they were going into surgery, and they drew parts of their body. Because as a doctor or a nurse, you could tell what they were drawing. I mean, the funniest, I might as well tell you, was a boy who was going to have a circumcision drew 2 airplanes in profile. One was a penis without a circumcision. The other was a penis with a circumcision. And when he held those up, everybody in the operating room busted out laughing. And the future, another kid. See, the booklet that finally the anesthesiologist made out, because he realized these drawings are wonderful and helpful. And the boy drew, it said, you will meet someone called an anesthesiologist who's wearing an outfit that looks like green pajamas. You know, that's the scrub suit in the OR.
Yeah, yeah.
But the boy drew him in red. And I said to the anesthesiologist, hold it. I'm not going ahead with surgery until we look at the last page. If he's telling us this is a danger and he draws himself in purple, he's going home, because that's a spiritual color and means I'm going to die in the operating room. And the anesthesiologist said, Bernie, it's amazing what he knows. His mother has a genetic defect related to muscle relaxants, and it's possible if he receives that muscle relaxant and has that defect, he could die from a reaction to it. And we turned to the last page, and it didn't show, you know, him dying. It showed his parents and everything else. So we went ahead with the surgery. But that's the part, when you talk about coincidences, that there aren't any. And it's hard for me to stop talking. I will in a minute, but I got to tell you 2 more things.
I've heard that.
One was, in a past life, I was a knight. And I won't get into all the details, because I had to see a psychiatrist about it. But I killed my wife with a sword in a past life, because I didn't have faith in my lord, who was the lord of the castle. And I reacted to him in a way I should have reacted to the true Lord and said, yes, I'll go kill her. And then I would have been told, no, you don't have to. But when I argued about killing this young woman, he made me go ahead and do it, or he would kill me. Then, how many years later, I get a job at a camp near our house, a day camp, and I'm with the first grade boys, and there are first grade girls, and we're watching them all in the swimming pool. And this beautiful young lady is the head counselor of the, you know, the girl group. And I said to her, it's nice to keep the pool open at night. You can come over and take a swim. And that's all I meant. And she said, are you asking me for a date? And I thought, say yes. What do you got to lose? So I said yes. We ended up getting married a few years later. And, you know, you'd say, how the hell did that happen? Because I said, it's nice to swim here at night. And those are the things that over and over again I see happening, and therefore I'm a believer. And I can share this with patients, and if they want to think I'm crazy, fine. But invariably things happen to them, and it's hard for me to stop talking. Patients that come to my office, but, you know, what I'm talking about is what you've written, meaningful coincidences for people to accept this. The subtitle is How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen by Bernard Beitman. And anyway, what I saw were patients coming into my office
Let me interject just a little bit right there, Bernie, when you mentioned my book, because you're saying what I'm trying to have happen, which is the experiences that you are describing.
Right.
I want to normalize. I want to normalize. It's one thing for each of us to tell each other stories, and you have some wonderful stories. And this last story I want to emphasize, because what you did was do an ask. There are many coincidences that if you don't ask, nothing's going to happen. You simply said, I want to swim at night. And that meant you need to be there. And that ask is so necessary. You can find a coincidence. You can sit next to somebody on an airplane, run into them in an airport, in all kinds of places. But if you don't follow the feeling which you had and ask, the coincidence is not going to happen. So this is where I emphasize personal agency. The things that you ask the kids to do, you recognize their personal agency. They had the capacity to know, and you, in such a lovely, lovely way, encourage them and then others to recognize that we can predict our own futures. We can know what's wrong with our bodies if we allow ourselves to express
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I keep repeating, I was seen as nuts in the hospital until the doctors and nurses had a problem, and then they became a believer. And that's why I was saying that patients came to my office. I got paged by patients who said, would you come to my room, please? You're not my doctor, but everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I know I can talk to you. And this is why I can say we have you on the show. Open your mind. Don't shut it. And then things happen. You see, and so I was reinforced because of what I believed, and people weren't afraid of talking to me. So I'm always telling patients, and you can tell people who read your book and have had things happen, don't be afraid to say these kinds of things happen to you. Because then when it happens to someone else, they'll call you up and say, oh, I got a story to tell you. Because they know they can share it with you because you've had it happen.
And that's why I have started the Coincidence Cafe, which meets on Zoom every third Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, because it gives people a place to tell their stories where they can't tell them in other places.
Yeah. Mm. How do you tune into that?
You go to the Coincidence Project website, and all that is all one word, thecoincidenceproject.net, and put in the search engine, the Coincidence Cafe, and you will get a registration form that you can fill out, and you'll be told when each time, and you'll be sent a Zoom link each time the Coincidence Cafe met. The last time we met, we had 100 people there, and we expect more than that to show up, because as you are tapping into, Bernie, there's a great need for people to recognize that their own weirdness is not weird, it's common, and they need to find people who can share that view.
Let me just tell you, because the other thing, you know, in reading, I shaved my head in, well, I think it was 50s or 60s, when everybody else had their hair down to their shoulders. I had to struggle to get the barber to do it, because he said, your sons will come in and beat me up doing this. You're enough trouble already to them. But he did it for me. I lied to him. I said, I'll go on vacation. Nobody will know we did it. And then what do I come across? Jung again. The reason monks shave their head is symbolic of uncovering their spirituality. And I had painted a portrait, because I'm a painter, of myself in the cap, mask, and gown. So you don't know it's me if you come into the house and look at all the paintings. But I named it the High Priest. And you see, this is why synchronicity. I named it the High Priest. Then I said to myself, what the hell are you calling it that for? But I left it. And then when I came across Jung and spirituality, I thought, yeah, that's who that guy is. He's changing, becoming a spiritual person, the High Priest, not the surgeon. And so I've learned from my own symbols and dreams and drawings, as well as everything else. Because on the other side of the coin, I have to say this, that beautiful young lady who said, are you asking man a date, became my wife. And I was painting her portrait in a beautiful evening gown, you know, really, oh boy, I want to make her beautiful. And then it was just not working. I was going day after day trying to paint it and not like it. And then she came home from taking a bike ride one day, you know, totally casual outfit and her old bike from when she was a kid. And I yelled out loud, and I didn't decide to yell. I just yelled, oh, that's really you. And I had a painting of her done in a couple of days of her with her bike. And I got to tell you one more thing. You know, sorry to make this my show, but in a meditation where we were told we'll meet an inner guide to help direct us, I met this fella who had a big beard and had just garments on him that I wasn't sure why he dressed that way. Well, Olga Worrell, you ever hear of her? She's a mystic who you'd enjoy her books, because she's saying what you're saying. Olga and Ambrose Worrell, they wrote about their work as mystics. And I spoke at a Christian funeral one day years ago, and she was there because she knew the fellow who died too. And we're standing in the lobby as the funeral procession, you know, beginning to leave the building. And she said, Bernie, are you Jewish? I said, what are you asking me that? Because I came to a Christian funeral to speak. No, there's a rabbi standing next to you. And she described the man I saw and didn't know why he was dressed that way. And then I suddenly knew, because he's a rabbi, and I am Jewish. And his name, he said, is George. And people have seen him while I've been out lecturing, because I let him do all the talking. I mean that literally. I used to take outlines when I was going to give a lecture, and I'd realize, you're not following your outline. But you sound better, so go ahead. And people would come up and say, that was better than usual, I heard you before. And one woman said, there was a man standing in front of you for the whole lecture, so I drew his picture for you. And there's George again. And I would say to everybody, meet your inner guide or whatever you want to call him, because it's just so impressive, whether you call it a coincidence or anything else, that unconscious part of us that knows the future.
Yeah. 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 It's I use the word coincidence because it's a kind of neutral term. And what you just described with George the rabbi is what we have to say. Well, is there a coincidence involved here? We can say, yes, there appeared to be somebody next to you. But then we look at what might be the explanation, and you're giving it. It's your hierophant. It's your high priest. It's number six in the Tarot deck. It's an archetype that you are manifesting as a rabbi speaking in various places and channeling information that's in you and outside of you. And you're remarkable in this way, Bernie. You're able to connect up with energies and information around you. And I have a theory about how that works, the psychosphere or our mental atmosphere. Teilhard de Chardin talked about the noosphere, and I'm using a different term for that. And somehow there are spirits around us that if we're open to them in the way you are, and your heart is open and your mind is open, and they can come into you when you need them. So it's a combination of what's your inner soul, but also there's some other elements contributing to.
I was just going to say to people, keep your mind quiet. And if you hear a voice, don't be afraid to talk to it. Because that's when I learned that George was talking to me. The day my father was going to die, because he was in a lot of pain, he said, I need to get out of here. We just said, all right, we'll have a great big party with the whole family, and then you can die. So everybody was heading for the hospital, including me. And that morning, I hear the voice, George, say, do you know how your parents met? I said, no. Then ask your mother when you get to the hospital. Well, I walk in, and instead of saying, I love you, I blurst out, Mom, how did you two meet? Turns out my mother was on vacation down in New York Beach, and there were some girls sitting on the beach, so she just went over and sat with them. She didn't know them. She said, I learned later they had a terrible reputation. She said, coming down the beach were a bunch of boys. One of them was your father. They tossed coins to see who would get the other girls. And your father lost and got me. And here they end up getting married, see? What a coincidence, huh?
That's a great
way of going. I never would have asked that if George hadn't said to me, do you know how your parents met? You know, that's my conscience that is speaking up, too. So it's amazing.
Yes, and we need to take a first break, everyone. So stay with us with Dr. Bernie Siegel, and we'll be back in a moment.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, sacred stories of transformational joy, answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing.
Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of DreamVision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. You can hear his show every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. And his guest today is Dr. Bernard Bateman. And he has, his focus is on coincidences. And if you want to get in touch with him, you can go on his site. It's coincider.com. It's coincider.com. And to get in touch with Bernie, send him a message or look at all his books everywhere books are sold, as well as with Dr. Bernard's. But go on BernieSiegelMD.com. That's Bernie, SIEGELMD.com. And he has written 17 books and counting. So, Dr. Bernard, if I may ask you this question, when you talk about, and I haven't read the whole book, but could you address or speak to all synchronicities on all positives?
Yeah, and I like to think of them as all positive, but they aren't. And it's a lot of it depends on your interpretation of them. One amazing thing sometimes is a terrible thing might happen to you through a coincidence, because coincidences are not commands, they're suggestions. You don't have to use them. You don't have to take them. But if you do and things turn out bad, it's still worthwhile waiting some time and to see if they turn out to be good. But some of them I have trouble saying are good in any way. And one example of that is Elizabeth Targ, who is an MD researcher who was studying distant healing. And it was effective enough in AIDS patients in the 90s that the National Institute of Health gave her money to do distance healing with people with glioblastoma. And glioblastoma is a rapidly growing brain cancer that's pretty hard to treat. You got to get it early, and even then it's difficult. So she was starting her process of doing the distance healing with glioblastoma, and then she was diagnosed with the glioblastoma. That's a coincidence that I can't be positive about. It could be that in a way, the way Bernie is talking about drawing things, that she selected glioblastoma because somewhere in herself she knew the future held that for her, and maybe there was a way she could heal herself, but that's all speculation. That's a negative coincidence.
Well, let me interject something, because it's all the things I learned. See, when people don't die when they're supposed to, I say, how come you didn't die when you were supposed to? And they always have a story, and I pass that stuff on. And picture this one, no coincidence. You have polio as a child and have lost a lot of muscle function and not a symmetrical body anymore. And then she developed, I can't remember, another neurological disease, and was dying. She was told, you're going to die of it. And she said, I didn't want to die disliking myself and my body. And so she said, I laid down naked in front of a mirror and started loving myself, starting with my toes and moving up an inch each time. And her disease went into complete remission. And I take time almost every night to fill my heart with love and pump it out to my whole body, from the top to the bottom. And you can feel the difference. And so in many ways, again, I say no coincidence. When you have a problem, say, I have a backache, I have a severe headache, I'm being admitted to the hospital. I don't make up these stories. What does the pain feel like? Pressure. What's the pressure in your life? My marriage. Instead of getting admitted to the hospital, she went home and straightened out her marriage. See? And there are more serious situations, too. I have cancer. What's it like? What are you experiencing? Failure. I said, "What? How does that fit your life?" Well, my body failed me. That's not what I'm asking you. How does failure fit your life? Oh, my parents committed suicide when I was a child, so I must have been a failure as a child. Now, those are not made-up stories on my part. And that's why when I see this book, Meaningful Coincidences, by Bernard Tightman, M.D., no coincidence, we have the same first name. But, I'm thrilled. Because times are changing. I'm 90, by the way. And so when I started doing this stuff, I was considered nutcase. You know, and I see sure. that you trained at Yale also, where I was yes. trained as a surgeon. I didn't go to medical school there, but I trained there. And, as I said, you'd speak at a medical conference and people would say, you know, what are you talking about? How can I believe that? What research have you done? See, that's the other interesting thing. If you want to say, gee, I'd love to do research on coincidences, but when you call up the government, National Institutes of Health and Yale University and others and say, hey, I'd like to do some research. You want to help me? Funding? And they say, oh, we can't believe in that stuff. We're not going to help you. And
well,
that was
true.
The frustrating
that's true.
Part.
Keep in mind, I was chairman of a psychiatry department for 17 years.
Yeah.
And I collected money in my own little pot
right.
doing drug research just for this purpose. And I had money to be able to fund graduate psychology students to help me develop the weird coincidence survey just to answer a simple, basic question. How
yeah.
frequently do people experience what kind of coincidence? And I was able to come up with four common coincidences and a lot others, including the one about me and my father. This is not uncommon that people feel the pain of a loved one at a distance. But in addition, I was able to come up with personality types that are correlated with high frequencies of meaningful coincidences being reported. So I have the only data-based, valid and reliable survey to tell the world that meaningful coincidences are common, that weird stuff is right there in front of us. So I was able to do that. Now I have the Coincidence Project, Bernie, and the Coincidence Project, which I founded, and we need to get what you're talking about. We need to get cash to keep the thing going and get to doing some research projects that are pretty basic, like trying to figure out a way to have a control with actual coincidences. To see the difference between the control and the coincidences is a major challenge, because as Jung knew, he did it with astrology, but as Jung knew, it's hard to be able to put these events in a laboratory in a controlled condition, but there must be a way to do it, and we need to figure out how to do that.
I mean, I think I had more of an impact because I was a surgeon. As crazy as that sounds. You know, I wasn't a psychiatrist. And nurses would come to me and say, your patients are refusing medication. I said, that occurred to you, they're not hurting. They look at me like, what are you, crazy? You operated on them. But they began to realize his patients are normal. And
do you have your mouth or your hand on the speaker part of the phone? Because it's all muffled.
No, but it's a different phone than I usually use because that one wasn't.
Well, now you're fine. I think you were too close to
right.
the. Yeah, you're
yeah,
fine
I'm,
now.
I'm turning around. Okay, it may be just the pulling on the cord or something. Okay, mm-hmm. There are no coincidences.
But you're remarkable because you are a surgeon and
that's
surgeons
right.
are supposed and that's even more wonderful that you are who you are. As a psychiatrist, as a psychiatric resident at Stanford, one of my colleagues quietly walked into my office and said, "I need to talk with you." And I said, "Okay." He said, "I think you're psychotic."
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, what I'm trying to do with this synchronicity business is very much like what your father, the preacher, is trying to do. I'm trying to bring people closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard from him again about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I say, I mean, I didn't run around saying, I have an angel named George. But when people started seeing him and mystics told me what he was wearing and that he was a rabbi, and it was like, I can't deny this. So I just talked about it, that's all. And then again, as I said, people aren't afraid to talk to you who are crazy also.
People cut all the, as you might guess. With their stories. Let me tell you a story a little bit like yours. I was along the river here in Charlottesville. It's really pretty there. And I started thinking about why people have this different names for God. Because different religions have different names. So
right.
I started thinking that the Hebrew name Hashem is kind of a little better because it just means the name. It doesn't mean anything more than that except the name. So you can call whatever you want. So as I was thinking about this, I walked down to another place on the river, and I like singing to the river. I think the river has a spirit that
mm-hmm.
likes to be sung to, and I like to dance with the river. So I was doing that dancing, and I was singing a song that I was practicing, and down the stairs come two people that I hadn't seen before, and they are one taking a picture of the other, and I say, okay, I'll take a picture of both of you. So I took a picture of both of them, and then they saw my jacket, which had Swarthmore on it. I went to Swarthmore College. So the guy says, well, I went to Haverford, which is a rival college, and we got talking. I said, maybe you'll understand what I'm thinking about. And I told him about Hashem and God. And the two of them looked at each other and said, we're rabbis.
Yeah, no coincidence. And
no
as
coincidence.
I say, that's why with the drawings, too. You know, some people drew God as the source of chemotherapy, radiation, things of that sort, and they never had any side effects. See, so people couldn't deny that I had crazy patients, you know?
Yes, you did.
Because they saw it. And then there were others who literally, I mean, I don't make up these stories, drew the devil giving me poison and had every side effect in the book. And I would tell them, don't go if that's how you feel. And the other was the love of life. I got to tell you this one. A landscaper had stomach cancer. I told him when we were done, there's still some cancer in you. I think you ought to have further treatment. He said, no, it's springtime. Going to go home, make the world beautiful. So when I die, I'll leave a beautiful world. 6 years later, the nurse handed me his chart. I said, he's dead. He's never come back to the office. Get me the right chart. And she said, open the door. So I opened the door to the examining room, and there was John. I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. Well, I fixed his hernia, and really he became my therapist. because just being in nature with him was so healing. You know?
Oh, yes.
Just all the beautiful things that happened and what's going on. And I loved walking with him. And he lived to be 90, and I went to his wedding anniversary to tell everybody what a wonderful man he was. But again, that's what changed me. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. I go to a forest near here in Charlottesville, and there are three trees that I have conversations with. And
yes.
They tell me things. They suggest things to me, and before I leave, they insist that I sing them a song or two. And they only like two songs, pretty much. So they'll listen to the other ones, but they love "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." So I sing that, and then I leave. And the energy that I get with them, and the information I get with them, is really very helpful. Have you had communications with plants as well?
Well, I know what you're saying is true. The morning, I often say these two words, Hashem.
Can you, Bernie, can you hold that thought? Because we do need to take a break. Everyone, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. Available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. And just before the break, Dr. Bernard asked Bernie a question. And so over to you, Bernie.
Okay. On my bathroom mirror, I write with lipstick all over everything. It says,
I'm not going to tell you about somebody with lipstick on my mirror. I'm not going to tell you that story. Go ahead.
It says Hashem and Hispodidus. Hashem is a term for God. Hispodidus is the therapy of walking in nature. So none of this is new stuff. You know?
No.
It's not what you've discovered. Isn't that wonderful? It's been around for hundreds of years. So I know that if we walk in nature, we're healing. And the other is that every color has meaning. You know, who decided the sky should be blue and plants should be green? Orange is symbolic of change. It's got the red and the yellow, which is an energy and an emotion. And I might add, purple is spiritual. So when people drew pictures for me, all their feelings came right out, and I knew what they were trying to say. And, you know, they couldn't deny it, so it became a way of helping them. I mean, even if somebody said to me, you know, no coincidences, what job should I take? I say, draw yourself at all the possibilities. Who should I marry? I used to say the same thing. Draw all the women who are possible. And it was invariably true that the one I would select was the one that they felt best about, whether it's job or marriage or anything else. So I say to people, pay attention to what's within you, because it's not a coincidence.
With Dr. Bernard's question about the tree, I have had so many different experiences. One particular one with the tree, we had this big, humongous maple tree. And I was in sales back then, and it shared exact words that I needed to say to the company that was hiring this vice president. And I used those exact words from the tree, and my family thinks I'm nuts, but I used those exact words, and he was hired. So unfortunately, that tree came down a couple of years ago from a storm, and I've, you know, I really connected with that particular tree. So,
Well, I'm glad you tell that story, because the trees are strength and wisdom, and being able to speak with them, as Bernie is suggesting, is age old. Being able to communicate with plants, good herbalists feel how the plants need to be nurtured, what kind of soil they need, what kind of light they need. The plants will tell you if you believe. And this whole idea of meaningful coincidences, as Bernie is emphasizing, these are true things that have been around for a long time. We need to reawaken our capacity for precognition, which Bernie's paintings or drawings illustrate, our ability to be telepathic, our ability to be clairvoyant, and our ability to listen to voices that tell us things that are from outside of us, it would appear, but that can be very beneficial to us, including speaking with trees. But sometimes the voice is like George. It comes from someplace, and it's good for us to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really connecting with your soul versus your body.
Yes. Yeah, and as I say, once you start sharing it, more people will come to you and tell you stories and ask you for help. I mean, I've got I got some that are fun. And we all need a sense of humor, too. I mean, I don't want people to forget that. You know, it's not at all about what's serious and what's trouble. Have a sense of humor, because I find the animals are a big help in this type of thing, because they're not worrying and thinking, and, you know, they're living. And I even put one of our cats, who was named Miracle. Well, let me give you, you know, no coincidences. A patient said, I had a dream last night. A cat appeared, said, my name is Miracle, and this is how you should treat your cancer. So she said, I went to my doctor, and I got him to do it, and I was cured. And he didn't believe I would be able to. So we named a cat named Miracle, and one of our kids brought her home. Our house was a zoo. And I entered her in a dog show, because that's my sense of humor.
And let's talk about
I said,
this.
She thinks she's a dog, so I brought her over. And all the dogs loved her. You know, she wasn't afraid of them. But the next year, I got to tell you what's wonderful when you act this kind of way. The sign went up for this dog show, and at the bottom, they had added a line that said, for dogs only. And, oh, I busted out laughing, because I knew the veterinarian wasn't thrilled with what I did at the show.
let me go along with what you are talking about, that we can be serious about these meaningful coincidences and talk about stuff that happens in the hospital, but a lot of them are really funny, and I'm going to tell you one that I think is pretty funny. Let's see if you do. There's this guy who gets irritated by people who ask him, how are you doing, when they really don't want it. So he's standing in a checkout line at a store, and someone asks him, how are you doing? So he replies, I'm depressed and lost my antidepressants. The person behind him says, I'm a psychiatrist. Perhaps I can help.
And you told my story.
Yes.
I just told my story.
that happened in the post office. Because I'm always telling the clerk, stop asking me how are you every time I come in here. Tell me you're looking wonderful today. And then I feel better, and everybody else in the post office wants to know, why didn't they say that to me? You know, but between supermarkets and post office, I get a lot of compliments. And only once did I have a psychiatrist behind me who poked me in the back and said, here's my card, maybe I can help you. But let me say this, though. I was amazed at how many people are depressed in the world, because when they come up and offer you their medications, I couldn't believe how many people that are total strangers came over to help me. And the world is a sad place. And I think maybe your book will help people come out of that sadness and begin to enjoy life.
And what you are doing with me, Bernie, and I so appreciate it, is we can have fun. Coincidences can be a lot of fun.
Right.
They can laugh at them. They may not be general laughter, but the specific people involved. There's this guy that was watching a movie with a friend of his, and he saw a peacock in this movie, and he said, I wonder where peacocks come from. And then he went outside a little later, and there was a peacock running around in the yard where he was visiting this person. And he didn't really understand what that was going on, but they started to laugh. But then he's reading a book, and in this book they mention a peacock and then something else. And then he's over at a friend of his house and helping her set up her new printer. And you know how printers have to print out something just to show that they can work. That printer printed out a peacock.
Peacock.
Wow. Well, there are no coincidences. That's why I keep hearing Elizabeth with that accent. Borny, there are no coincidences. Because I would always be telling her stories, you know, because it was hard for me to believe what she was saying. So I would tell her different stories, and slowly but steadily, I was converted between my patients and Elizabeth, and it was amazing. And as I say, the cover-up, you know, shaving my head, I mean, it's just all these things that we need to stop covering up and let out. And then once people can see them and experience them, everything has changed. Yeah.
And tell other about them, which is the purpose of the Coincidence Project and the Coincidence Cafe. Tell each other about them. Then you'll believe yourself even more strongly.
Would you share that link again for the Zoom and the cafe?
Yes. To get to the Coincidence Cafe, you can put in the Coincidence Project, all one word, thecoincidenceproject.net. And you can search for the Coincidence Cafe. Or you can go to my website, which is, you mentioned so nicely, a lot of people don't spell it, say it right, coincider.com, coincider.com, and email me, and I will send you the registration for the Coincidence Cafe, and that will suit you for the next couple of years. To get reminders that it will take place at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Zoom each third Saturday of the month.
Very good. Thank you. And then everyone can purchase your book just about anywhere. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and it's Meaningful Coincidences, and it's Dr. Bernard Bateman.
So would you do me a favor? Wait one second. The your website is coincider.com?
Yes.
All right, because I want to put your stuff on my website. So I'll email you, and you can send me whatever you'd like to post there.
That'd be very kind of you. Very kind of you. And the reason it's coincider is the word coincider has two meanings. Coincider is someone who experiences coincidences, and also is somebody who's an insider with each other, a co-insider.
Mm-hmm.
So please... Please do email me, Bernie. I love talking to other Bernies, and I'm gonna. And we got two Bernies here jazzing along, so I look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, it's a beautiful way to end the show. So thank you, both Bernies.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And for everyone listening, share the show. Let everyone know about Dr. Bernard's book and the cafe, and certainly the Dr. Bernie Siegel. Bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.